You would open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and then we'll be reading verse 4. If you find a place in God's Word, you can stand. Now, the honor of the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 6. Beginning in verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let's go, Lord, and pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the songs that we have sung and the word that's already been spoken. And Father, we pray that you would help us to understand the importance of the resurrection. Father, what it truly means for us today. And we would ask that the power that raised Christ from the dead would be present to raise dead sinners to life even today. Of course, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We are gathered here this morning, as has been said many times, to celebrate the resurrection. And I have found the more I talk to people within our community, and the more I talk to people just here in our country in the South, I find that most people do not have a genuine understanding of Christianity. They have a surface level of Christian morality, but in terms of an actual understanding of the core foundational teachings of Christianity and Jesus Christ himself, most people have very little to no understanding. What I want to do this morning is explain to you why Christianity is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and explain to you what Christianity truly is about and what its core teachings genuinely are. If you think logically, the diagnosis drives the cure. So if I was to go to a doctor with a cough, if the doctor diagnosed me with, say, bronchitis, he would prescribe me with an antibiotic. But if I had lung cancer, the antibiotic would not help me. If I was misdiagnosed, then what was the cure that would be administered would not help. In many respects, the major problem in our world today is a misdiagnosis of the human condition. Christianity stands apart from every belief system in the world, including atheism and agnosticism, on many points, but it all kind of stems from the very nature of man's problem. Every belief system in the world believes that man is basically a good person and basically capable of doing what is necessary to bring in a utopia. This would be taught in Karl Marx when he talked about the Communist Manifesto. He lays out how man can bring about a utopia. This is taught in Islam as to how man, through obeying the five pillars of Islam and the teachings of Muhammad, can bring about utopia. This is the same teachings in Buddhism, and this is the same thing with Nirvana, and all of the teachings of all the religions of the world, is that man is a basically good person that is basically capable of doing what is required of him to bring about a better future. This genuinely is the hope of atheism. The problem that you have is, how do basically good people do things that are unthinkable, evil, depraved, and wrong? How does someone strap a bomb to themselves and go blow up a market in the Middle East? How does someone take a rifle and go shoot a bunch of high school kids? How do you lie to your parents? How do basically good people do very, very evil things? And so our society has come up with a whole bunch of explanations for this. And depending on your side of the political spectrum, you may have a different opinion on a particular issue. But by and large, it goes something like this. If man's problem is that occasionally he does bad things, well, then the solution is that man must occasionally do good things. That's logical. Okay, if the problem is you do bad things, then the solution is you must do good things. And this is pretty much the teaching of all religion. And this is the teaching of atheism. Okay, this is the teaching, you know, just do good to other people. We want to live in a better society, so you need to be kind, you need to do good things, you need to do good things for other people. That's basically the understanding, and atheists would rightly point out that's the major tenets of all religions. But they wrongly point out that's the major tenet of Christianity, because that's not the major tenet of Christianity. Because Christianity has a different diagnosis of man. If man's problem is man occasionally does bad things, then the solution is man must do good things. And this is the common belief by most people who go to church, even Baptist churches. I know this because I will go to their house, I'll visit them, I'll see them at the grocery store, and they all say this. You know, preacher, I just got to come to church more. As if coming to church more will then solve their problems. I just need to stop drinking. I need to drink less. I need to be kinder to my wife. I need to be home more and spend more time with the kids. I need to go to church more. I need to do better. That's the common thinking among most people who were raised and spent their lives in Baptist churches. I just need to do more. I just need to do better. And if I don't go to church, then I can expect more flat tires, that type of thing. You know, if I don't do good things, and you know, then our world's going to fall apart. At least my little world will fall apart. So I have to do good things because my problem is I do bad things. So the solution is just to change and do good things. And this is where you get the idea that Christianity is morals. It's doing good to your fellow man. That Christianity is about good deeds and going to church and singing songs and giving money in the offering plate. That's Christianity in most people's understanding. The problem is the Bible paints an entirely different picture of man. It doesn't just paint man as basically bad. It paints man as dead. Like dead, dead. Like as in it uses the actual literal word dead. In Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, it describes man separated from God as dead. We all know the story of Adam and Eve, and we know that God told Adam, the day you eat of the tree, you will die. And Adam lived another 900-some years afterwards. So you have one of two things. One, our understanding of death is wrong, or two, God's a liar. God told the truth. The moment Adam ate from the tree, the moment he ate that fruit, he died. You see, the problem is we live in a materialistic view of the world. That all this world is matter. That all you are is a bunch of molecules and chemicals compiled together. And so when we see someone who's messed up, whatever that means, who's not normal, whatever that means, then that must mean there must be something messed up physically. They must have something wrong with them physically. They must have some teaching from some corrupt society that we remove them from society and they'll get back to normal. Remove them from a gun culture and they won't be violent. Remove them from this external cultural stimulus and they'll be changed. This, by the way, is most of our modern approach to problems within this world. Okay? When we have somebody kill someone, some people say, well, the solution is more guns. Someone says the solution is laws against guns. But both of them are arguing in a purely materialistic world, and both of them have the exact same worldview. What the Bible would teach is that man is entirely a spiritual being, and that spiritual being lives within a physical body, and that our world and universe is primarily spiritual, and yet God has placed the spiritual within the physical. And so what you are is a soul that lives within a body. And yes, your mind and your body can have an effect on your behavior and your environment and all those things, but by and large, you are a soul. And when Adam ate from that tree, his soul died. Okay? Zombie movies and zombie shows are very popular about the living dead. That, according to the Bible, is humanity. You are a dead soul walking around in a living body. Now, we look at and we have a hard time explaining why a basically good person can do bad things. And so we use this phrase. I mean, I've never heard that. Only a sick person would do that. What are we saying? We're saying that good soul must have gotten sick. But that's the exact opposite of what Jesus taught. Jesus, the founder of Christianity, taught that out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts. You see, we have it all backwards. This is what we say. If you lie enough, you become a liar. If you steal enough, you become a thief. When you sin, you become a sinner. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus taught. Jesus taught you lie because you already are a liar. You steal because you already are a thief. You sin because you already are a sinner. Out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts. When someone called him good, Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God." You see, Jesus did not view man as basically good, that sometimes gets sick because of the environment in which he is raised. He taught man as dead. And this logically follows. If you were to take and kill a deer today, and it's kind of overcast right now, but it's getting ready to get sunshine like it always is in Florida. And you take that deer, and you were to lay it out in the middle of the road on the hot pavement. What is going to happen in the Florida sun in a couple days? It's going to rot. It's going to smell. It's going to attract maggots and vultures. So where did the stink come from? Death. Where did the maggots come from? Death. Where did the vultures come from? Death. Jesus taught that all of our sin was produced from a dead nature. And Jesus taught it this way. He said you can't change the fruit of a tree. Let me ask you this. If I was to take an oak tree and I went down to Publix and bought a dozen apples and a roll of duct tape and I duct tape the apples to the oak tree, does the oak tree become an apple tree? What happens to the apples? They rot. That's what morality is. Morality is taping apples to an oak tree and calling it an apple tree. Your good deeds, your attempt at reforming your life, will only produce more rot and more stench. Have you ever struggled with an addiction? I'm sorry. Other people struggle with addictions. You don't have a problem. You just enjoy relaxing with whatever your beverage or weed or whatever it is of choice that it is. But you don't have a problem. Stop. If you don't have a problem, stop drinking. Stop. Oh, you can't. Okay, tell a corpse to stop stinking. It can't. That's its very nature. Tell the roadkill on the way home, go away, maggots. That's what death produces. A dead sinner will always produce sin. And if you were to take that rotting deer and you were to take it home and you were to put on little dog clothes, you know, like they do on little puppies, you know, and you were to put a little sweater like they put on dogs, you know, and then they would put it on that deer, all you would do is ruin the sweater. You would never change the very nature of that animal because it's dead. This is why Christianity is not morality. Christianity is not going to church. Okay, let me go a step further. Many people look at Christianity and they say that, well, Christianity is about a sexual ethic and all these type of things, and they're against divorce and against homosexuality. And all. The Bible teaches that heterosexuals go to hell. The Bible teaches people that have been married for 50 years go to hell. The Bible teaches that people go to church every Sunday go to hell. Now, that's the exact opposite of what we think. Because we are conditioned to view people on a works mentality. Jesus himself said this to the most religious people of his day. He said, prostitutes are going to heaven instead of you. Let that sink in. He said, prostitutes and thieves will go to heaven before you will. No, that's backwards. Because that's the exact opposite of the way it is. No, Jesus understands the way it is. And this is why in Romans, the Apostle Paul explains to us the reason for God's law, the reason for all the morality taught in the Old Testament, for all of those things. He explains it to us this way. The law was not given, the Ten Commandments wasn't given, to make you a righteous person. It was only given to expose that you're not a righteous person, that you are a dead sinner in need of a Savior. That is the hardest problem. The hardest thing to convince a person is that they are spiritually dead and cut off from God. Every single person, Jonathan Edwards said it this way, every person who believes there's a hell believes they're not going. I have met maybe 5 people in my entire life that will tell you there's a hell and I'm going there. No, hell is reserved for all the other people who sin differently than me. Hell is reserved for people who aren't like me. People like me go to heaven. What we're doing there is we're declaring ourselves to be God and ourselves as the standard of righteousness. And if I am a good person, I do not need a Savior. I do not need someone to die on the cross for my sins, and I definitely don't need a new life. I just need a little bit of morality. I just need to make some minor changes in my life. I just need to get rid of the negativity. I'm sure you've heard that type of stuff. I just need to get around a new crowd of people. I just need to get out of town and go spread my wings. I need to sow my wild oats and get that away. You know, everybody has all these little trite sayings that they make. Because everyone believes the problem lies outside of them. My behavior is driven by my strict parents. My behavior is driven by our society. My behavior is driven by our culture. No. The rotting corpse stinks because it's dead. You sin because you are a sinner, dead in trespasses and sin. A vine produces grapes because it's a grapevine. And it will always produce grapes. Jesus, using that illustration, said, you can't find grapes on the thorn bush. You have to change the thorn bush into a grapevine. And that's where you'll find grapes. So if the problem with man is not that man is basically good and kind of sick and does some bad things, but if the problem with man is that he's dead, and the evidence that he's dead is the rot of sin and the stench of sin, I don't know if you're aware, but we've pretty much ruined everything God has ever created. No, I'm not just talking about nature and the environment. I'm talking about marriage, I'm talking about children, I'm talking about family, I'm talking about sex, I'm talking about everything you could ever imagine, we found a way to destroy it. The same way if you put a $10,000 suit on a corpse, we'd ruin it. We ruin everything. Our sin, our nature. So if the problem is that man is dead, what is the solution? The resurrection. If the problem is that man is dead, the only hope for man is the resurrection from the dead. Now can you begin to see and understand why the resurrection is so important? Paul, here in Romans, in the verse that we read, uses the Christian experience of baptism to explain the whole meaning of everything in the Bible. And he says, when someone is baptized, they're buried, he says. When someone is baptized, if you've never seen it, someone, they stand up like this, and then they get laid backwards. I'm not going to do it because I'll fall over, okay? Because that's just what it is. It's like taking a dead body that is unable to hold itself up and lowering it down in the casket. That's what happens in baptism. Now, how do dead people come to life? They go to church and stop drinking, right? How do dead people come to life? They turn over a new leaf and make a fresh start. How do dead people come to life? They don't. There is nothing they can do. And that's why when someone is baptized, what happens is someone else pulls them out of the water. And when we baptize people, we quote this verse and say, raised to walk in newness of life. Because when someone is dead, someone else must reach down and impart life and pull them out of the tomb. That is Christianity. Christianity is not that someone must do that, but that God already has done that in the person of Jesus Christ. That God has reached down to dead sinners and grabbed them and pulled them out of their death and given them new life. That is Christianity. And that is why Christians gather on days like today. And they gather on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays. They gather whenever they can. They come together. Why? Because they have been given a new life. This is why we call it the good news, the gospel. Because if salvation and new life is based upon Jesus being raised from the dead, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the family you come from. It doesn't matter what you've done, how messed up, how broken you are. You can't get any worse than dead. Okay? You do realize dead people from poor people are just as, from poor families are just as dead as dead people from rich families. And you realize that mass murderers who are dead are just as dead as preachers who are dead. There is no difference. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how broken and messed up your family is or how broken and messed up you are. The hope of the gospel is that God in the person of Jesus Christ can reach down and give you a new life. That's what it is. No, it's not a new set of morals. It's not a new set of laws. It's not where you exchange the rules of Islam for the rules of Christianity. It's not rules at all. It's a new life. What God does is He doesn't take all the apples and duct tape them to your life. He changes your very nature by imparting to you His life. And yes, the thorn bush will have some thorns that will eventually fall away. No, you will not be perfect overnight. But if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, all things are becoming new. That is what Christianity is. Christianity is God sending His Son to die our death. And as He rises from the dead, I love John Owen, what he called the death of death. Because when Jesus rose again from the dead, your death problem was eternally solved forever, and death is gone. Most people think of eternal life means you go to heaven when you die. No, that's called going to heaven when you die. Eternal life means you're alive and will never die. And eternal life begins the moment Jesus Christ reaches down and imparts new life to you. So for the Christian, yes, the body will expire, but who cares? We already have eternal life. The soul has been reconnected with God. And that's the whole picture of baptism. When someone stands to be baptized, what they say is, I am a dead sinner apart from God's grace. And I am dead in sin, but God in His grace sent Jesus to die for my sin. And He has reached down and raised me and given me a new life. That's why prostitutes go to heaven before religious people. You know why? It doesn't take much to convince a prostitute that she's not a good person. If you study Christianity, Christianity has always thrived among the poorest, most broken, most messed up people in this world. Many people, they grieve because they look at their kids, they look at their grandkids, they look at family members and they go, man, they are living in such a broken mess. Those are the people God saves, by the way. The religious people say, I don't need it. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. I got it under control. We just need new laws. I just need new friends. I just need to hang around different people. I just need something different in my life. I'm okay. I got this. And so they reject the only hope for their soul. The only hope for your soul is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to offer you new life. No, not just a new thing, but a completely, totally new life. so new as if you died and were raised a different person. I have seen it. I have seen God do that in people's lives. I have seen God reach down to people in prison and completely, totally change them. I have seen some of the most hardened people absolutely transformed. I have seen people filled with hatred become filled with love. I have seen it so much that when people see them, they go, "What happened to you? Did you get a new haircut? A new job?" People ask those type of questions. Why? Because they're a new person. They've been given a new life, a new nature. They've been raised from the dead. So the question here from Romans and the question here concerning the resurrection is, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And do you believe that he rose again and has given you a new life? Then, like as it says here in Romans, you should be baptized. And tell people that you are a sinner that God has saved and redeemed and given a new life. If you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, rejoice and give God the glory, because all you were is a dead sinner that God reached down and imparted his life to. You may be struggling. Okay? That's normal, by the way. Okay? Jesus had struggles in this life. The apostles had struggles in this life. But remember that he who began that good work will be faithful to finish it. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. There is no death for those who believe in Jesus. Death is swallowed up in victory, as we looked at earlier this morning. Take courage, take hope, not in yourself, not in your ability, but in Jesus Christ. That the one who breathed new life into you will carry you. But if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, morality will not save you. I think I've told y'all before, the guys on the job site decided to have a bet who would go the longest without cussing. They lost, all of them lost in less than 15 minutes. It's like telling a rotting corpse, quit stinking. It will never last. And you cannot believe me, and you can believe that you are basically a good person, and that you got it under control, and that you'll get it figured out, and you'll continue to destroy everyone you love and everyone around you. You need Jesus Christ. And Jesus has promised if you come to him, he will not cast you out. If you seek him, you will find him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.